chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 103 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Page 103, Book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And this is the word of the Lord.
Throughout the Old and the New Testament, we hear about good shepherds, good leaders. I've had a number of business people in the last few weeks share with me lessons of leadership. And one of them is, leadership is not bold, spectacular action, but day-by-day success. And I would like Malama, if you would stand, Sam and Sylvia, if you would stand, and Lisa, if you would stand. Sam, Sylvia, and Malama are our missionaries who are working at Chongqing Ministry, and Lisa is with Christian Action. And I want to say these are four unsung heroes and leaders who day by day have an amazing ministry. And I do hope that you will take advantage not only of supporting this Chongqing ministry financially, but going there some Friday and just seeing what God is doing. So thank you very much, and thank you very, very much for your musical worship. Let's pray. Almighty God, may your written word be our guide, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Another leadership lesson was, a leader realizes when there's a problem before it becomes an emergency. And another leadership lesson that I was told this week is that you need to understand the capability of the people you work with and use those talents. So it's very interesting, in the Old and New Testament, the writers are pretty clear about our talents as human beings. We continually are called sheep. Now that's not a good thing. Sheep are dumb. They are really dumb. I was talking to someone who knows about sheep and said it's a continual game of follow the leader. I understand pigs are much smarter than sheep. But it's interesting that in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 40, God, through his prophet Isaiah, says, "I am the good shepherd. I am going to come for my flock." But there are good shepherds, there are good leaders, and then there are bad leaders. And even in the Old Testament, we learn about bad leaders. If you have your Bibles, Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to me, "Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strayed, you have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them." In other words, the prophet says that you have not behaved like the leaders at Chongqing Ministry. Verse 11, "For the Lord says, I myself will search for his sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered." Lost in the news this week was the Danny F2, a ship that started in Uruguay and was headed to Syria. It had 77 crew members, 6 passengers, 10,000 sheep, and 18,000 cattle. And 20 kilometers off the coast of Lebanon, it sunk. 38 people have been rescued. All the livestock was lost. In fact, the floating carcass of all these sheep and cattle is keeping rescue efforts from really happening. A terrible tragedy. And I think that's almost a metaphor for the ship loaded with people and animals, and we wonder, what's our world going for? I mean, there are environmental concerns, there are economic concerns, there are ethical concerns, there are political concerns. What really is the answer to the world's problems? Are we steering towards shipwreck? And we need a leader. But we need a leader who can really help us. And Jesus claimed to be that leader. The context of John chapter 10 is an interesting one. Most of us have heard John 10:10. "I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly." But the context of that promise is Jesus in chapter 9 is having yet another quarrel, yet another theological battle with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. And he gets exasperated, so he tells the only parable that's recorded in the book of John. He starts talking about sheep and shepherds. And he's talking about thieves and bandits and friends. The Pharisees didn't quite get it, but they were starting to wonder, is he talking about us? Is he saying that we're like the religious leaders in the Old Testament, that we're not taking care of the sheep? No. And Jesus says, the good shepherd will speak, and his sheep will hear. True story, a pastor was trying to do some field research about sheep, and so he went out to a farmer in his congregation and said, "Hey, do sheep really come when you call?" And the farmer said, "Sure, go ahead, try." And the guy yelled, and the sheep just stood. And the farmer said, "Maybe you should use your preaching pulpit voice. Be a little louder." And he yelled, and nothing happened. And then in a really quiet voice, the farmer said, "Come on in." And they came rushing in. And the farmer turned to the pastor and said, "You don't know your Bible very well, do you? Sheep know the shepherd. They don't know strangers." And even if we're compared to sheep, and we don't really like that analogy, the most important thing about sheep is they listen. Paul's testimony, he said, "I'm going to listen. When God speaks, I'm going to listen." We should take away that as the central thing of worship today. God, the good shepherd, will speak. He knows your name. He's going to call your name, and he is going to guide you. But the Pharisees didn't get it. So Jesus said, "Well, let me make it plain. Let's just change it a little bit. I am the gate." I have seen human evil in two places that have just seared my mind. One is in Phnom Penh, in S21, that schoolhouse was converted by the Khmer Rouge into a torture factory. But the other place was Auschwitz in Poland. Maybe you saw in the news this week, somebody stole the sign over the gateway. Work will make you free. I've tried the German, but I offend at least 7 or 8 of you German friends, so I'm not going to. But work will make you free. And friends, I don't know if that sign is one that you follow, because in Hong Kong, there are sure a lot of people think if we work a little harder, we'll find freedom. But you can substitute whatever. This will make you free, or this will make you free. But Jesus says, no. None of this is going to make you free. The only way you are going to be protected is to come in the gate, and I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm going to give you abundant life. If you try any other gate, you're ultimately going to be dissatisfied. So Jesus says, as the good shepherd, I am going to guide you. As the gate, I am going to guard you. Now, between services, I was talking to some other members of Union who have family members stranded in Europe trying to get to Hong Kong. And my two boys yesterday were trying to go to Heathrow to take a flight to Paris and then to Hong Kong. And they said they were waiting in a queue for 2.5 hours and nothing happened. The place was a horror, they said. People are stacked up. Flights are being canceled because of all the snow all over Europe. And so we said, well, go find someone from Air France to get some help. So my son, one son stayed in queue, the other went to find an Air France person, and he waited patiently, and just before he got to talk to her, two people jumped ahead of him. And he said they were so angry, they were screaming at her, they were swearing at her, they were throwing things at her. So he said, I had to intervene, I had to tell them to calm down. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, she told them that she would not serve them, and they stormed away. And then she took our bags and fast-tracked us through. Because my son had protected her, and then she protected him. Protection is really important. Guidance is really important. But Jesus is even talking about more than this. Our youngest son, John, is now 15, almost 16, but when he was 6 or 7 years old, we were living in England, and hoof and mouth and the whole thing, they were killing off all the cattle, all the sheep, to prevent disease. And we explained this to our young son, that these animals were going to be killed, and one day we were riding in our car through the fields of Surrey, and he saw a bunch of cattle up on the hill. And John rolled down his window, and he said, run! Run! Because he knew what was going to happen to them. He had some inside information that they didn't have. But you know what? They didn't listen to him. Well, Jesus says, I've come to guide you. Listen to me. I've come to guard and protect you. You can find great life through me. But there's a cost. The good shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I will sacrifice everything for you. The only way my son John could have really communicated with the cattle is if he would become a cow. And he could have gone out in the pasture and say, guys, the humans have got a really bad plan. Let's get out of here. But he couldn't become a cow. But God, in Christ, became a human being. And we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, and that word can mean great shepherd, the excellent shepherd, the ideal shepherd. But he's also the good sheep, the ideal sheep, the perfect sheep, the sacrificial lamb, as we sang so movingly, worthy is the lamb who was slain. So in the midst of our Christmas festivities, as we celebrate baby Jesus, let's not forget that trajectory which took him from birth to being a refugee and political asylum in Egypt, and then a 3-year ministry, and then a horrific death. But then he rose again. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Listen to him. Live because of what he's done. Let's stand for the closing song.